Chapter 24. New people talked, as if his lordship designed to turn everybody out, and particularly Congreve. Which indeed was true, for the poor man told me he apprehended it. As I left my lord treasurer, I called on Congreve, knowing where he dined, and told him what had passed between my lord and me. So I have made a worthy man easy, and that is a good day's work. For, I am proposing to my lord, to erect a society or academy for correcting and settling our language, that we may not perpetually be changing as we do. He enters mightily into it, so does the Dean of Carlisle. 5, and I design to write a letter to Lord Treasurer with the proposals of it, and publish it. 6, and so I told my lord, and he approves it. Yesterday's 7 was a sad examiner, and last week was very indifferent, though some little scraps of the old spirit, as if he had given some hints. But yesterday's is all trash. It is plain the hand is changed. 23. I have not been in London today. For Dr. Gastrell 8, and I dined, by invitation, with the Dean of Carlisle, my neighbor. So I know not what they are doing in the world, a mere country gentleman. And are not you ashamed both to go into the country just when I did, and stay 10 days, just as I did, saucy monkeys? But I never rode. I had no horses, and our coach was out of order, and we went and came in a hired one. Do you keep your lodgings when you go to Wexford? I suppose you do, for you will hardly stay above 2 months. I have been walking about our town tonight, and it is a very scurvy place for walking. I am thinking to leave it, and return to town, now the Irish folks are gone. Ford goes in 3 days. How does Dingley divert herself, while Stella is writing? Work, or read, or walk. Does Dingley ever read to you? Had you ever a book with you in the country? Is all that left off? Confess. Well, I'll go sleep. 'Tis past 11, and I go early to sleep. I write nothing at night, but to M.D. 24. Stratford and I, and Pastoral Phillips, just come from Denmark, dined at Ford's today, who paid his way, and goes for Ireland on Tuesday. The Earl of Peterborough is returned from Vienna without one servant. He left them scattered in several towns of Germany. I had a letter from him, 4 days ago, from Hanover, where he desires I would immediately send him an answer to his house at Parsons Green, 9, about 5 miles off. I wondered what he meant, till I heard he was come. He sent expresses, and got here before them. He is above 50, and as active as 25. I have not seen him yet, nor know when I shall, or where to find him. 25. Poor Duke of Shrewsbury has been very ill of a fever. We were all in a fright about him. I thank God, he is better. I dined today at Lord Ashburnham's, with his lady, for he was not at home. She is a very good girl, and always a great favorite of mine. Stern tells me he has desired a friend, to receive your box in Chester, and carry it over. I fear he will miscarry in his business, which was sent to the Treasury, before he was recommended. For I was positive only to second his recommendations, and all his other friends failed him. However, on your account I will do what I can for him tomorrow with the Secretary of the Treasury. 26. We had much company today at dinner at Lord Treasurer's. Prior never fails. He is a much better courtier than I. And we expect every day that he will be a commissioner of the customs, and that in a short time a great many more will be turned out. They blame Lord Treasurer for his slowness in turning people out, but I suppose he has his reasons. They still keep my neighbor Atterbury in suspense about the deanery of Christ Church, 10, which has been above 6 months vacant, and he is heartily angry. I reckon you are now preparing for your Wexford expedition. And poor Dingley is full of carking and caring, scolding. How long will you stay? Shall I be in Dublin before you return? Don't fall and hurt yourselves, nor overturn the coach. Love one another, and be good girls, and drink Presto's health in water, Madam Stella, and in good ale, Madam Dingley. 27. The secretary appointed me to dine with him today, and we were to do a world of business. He came at 4, and brought Briar with him, and had forgot the appointment, and no business was done. I left him at 8, and went to change my gown at Mrs. Van Homry's, and there was Sir Andrew Fountain at Amber with Lady Ashburnham and Lady Frederick Schomburg, and Lady Mary Schomburg, 11, and Lady Betty Butler, and others, talking, and it put me in mind of the Dean and Stoit, and Walls, and Stella at play, and Dingley and I looking on. I stayed with them till 10, like a fool. Lady Ashburnham is something like Stella, so I helped her, and wished her good cards. It is late, etc., 28. Well, but I must answer this letter of our MD's. Saturday approaches, and I had written down this side. Oh, faith, Presto has been a sort of a lazy fellow. But Presto will remove to town this day se'nnight. The secretary has commanded me to do so, and I believe he and I shall go for some days to Windsor, where he will have leisure to mind some business we have together. Today, our society, it must not be called a club, dined at Mr. Secretary's. We were but 8, the rest sent excuses, or were out of town. We sat till 8, and made some laws and settlements, and then I went to take leave of Lady Ashburnham, who goes out of town tomorrow, as a great many of my acquaintance are already, and left the town very thin. I shall make but short journeys this summer, and not be long out of London. The days are grown sensibly short already, all our fruit blasted. Your Duke of Ormond is still at Chester, and perhaps this letter will be with you, as soon as he. Stern's business is quite blown up. They stand to it to send him back to the commissioners of the revenue in Ireland for a reference, and all my credit could not alter it, though I almost fell out with the Secretary of the Treasury, 12, who is my Lord Treasurer's cousin Germain, and my very good friend. It seems every step he has hitherto taken hath been wrong, at least they say so, and that is the same thing. I am heartily sorry for it, and I really think they are in the wrong, and use him hardly, but I can do no more. 29. Steele has had the assurance to write to me that I would engage my Lord Treasurer to keep a friend of his in an employment. I believe I told you how he and Addison served me for my good offices in Steele's behalf, and I promised Lord Treasurer never to speak for either of them again. Sir Andrew Fountain and I dined today at Mrs. Van Homry's. Dilly as he has been in town this fortnight. I saw him twice. He was 4 days at Lord Pembroke's in the country, punning with him. His face is very well. I was this evening 2 or 3 hours at Lord Treasurer's, who called me Dr. Thomas Swift 20 times. That's his way of teasing. I left him at 9, and got home here by 10, like a gentleman. And tomorrow morning I'll answer your little letter, sirs. 30. Morning. I am terribly sleepy always in a morning. I believe it is my walk overnight that disposes me to sleep. Faith. Tis now striking 8, and I am but just awake. Patrick comes early, and wakes me 5 or 6 times, but I have excuses, though I am 3 parts asleep. I tell him I sat up late, or slept ill in the night, and often it is a lie. I have now got little MD's letter before me, N. 116 no more, nor no less, no mistake. Dingley says, this letter won't be above 6 lines. And I was afraid it was true, though I saw it filled on both sides. The Bishop of Clare writ me word you were in the country, and that he heard you were well. I am glad at heart MD rides, and rides, and rides. Our hot weather ended in May, and all this month has been moderate. It was then so hot I was not able to endure it. I was miserable every moment, and found myself disposed to be peevish and quarrelsome. I believe a very hot country would make me stark mad. Yes, my head continues pretty tolerable, and I impute it all to walking. Does Stella eat fruit? I eat a little, but I always repent, and resolve against it. No, in very hot weather I always go to town by water, but I constantly walk back, for then the sun is down. And so Mrs. Proby, 13, goes with you to Wexford. She's admirable company. You'll grow plaguey-wise with those you frequent. Mrs. Taylor and Mrs. Proby, take care of infection. I believe my £200 will be paid, but that Sir Alexander Cairns is a scrupulous puppy. I left the bill with Mr. Stratford, who is to have the money. Now, Madam Stella, what say you? You ride every day. I know that already, sir, and if you ride every day for a 12-month, you would be still better and better. No, I hope Parvisel will not have the impudence to make you stay an hour for the money. If he does, I'll you and Parvisel him. Pray let me know. Oh Lord, how hasty we are. Stella can't stay riding and riding. She must ride and go a cock horse. Pray now. Well, but the horses are not come to the door. The fellow can't find the bridle. Your stirrup is broken. Where did you put the whips, Dingley? Marget, where have you laid Mrs. Johnson's ribbon to tie about her? Reach me my mask. Sup up this before you go. So, a gallop, a gallop. Sit fast, sir, and don't ride hard upon the stones. Well, now Stella's gone. Tell me, Dingley, is she a good girl? And what news is that you are to tell me? No, I believe the box is not lost. Stern says it is not. No, faith, you must go to Wexford without seeing your Duke of Ormond, unless you stay on purpose. Perhaps you may be so wise. I tell you this is your 16th letter. Will you never be satisfied? No, I will walk late no more. I ought less to venture it than other people, and so I was told. But I will return to lodge in town next Thursday. When you come from Wexford, I would have you send a letter of attorney to Mr. Benjamin Took, bookseller, in London, directed to me, and he shall manage your affair. I have your parchment safely locked up in London. Oh, Madam Stella, welcome home. Was it pleasant riding? Did your horse stumble? How often did the man like to settle your stirrup? Ride 9 miles. Faith, you have galloped indeed. Well, but where is the fine thing you promised me? I have been a good boy, asked Dingley else. I believe you did not meet the fine thing man. Faith, you are a cheat. So you will see Raymond and his wife in town. Faith, that riding to Larriker gives me short sighs, as well as you. All the days I have passed here have been dirt to those. I have been gaining enemies by the scores, and friends by the couples, which is against the rules of wisdom, because they say one enemy can do more hurt than 10 friends can do good. But I have had my revenge at least, if I get nothing else. And so let fate govern. Now I think your letter is answered. And mine will be shorter than ordinary, because it must go today. We have had a great deal of scattering rain for some days past, yet it hardly keeps down the dust. We have plays acted in our town. And Patrick was at one of them, oh. He was damnably mauled one day when he was drunk. He was at cuffs with a brother footman, who dragged him along the floor upon his face, which looked for a week after, as if he had the leprosy, and I was glad enough to see it. I have been 10 times sending him over to you, yet now he has new clothes, and a laced hat, which the hatter brought by his orders, and he offered to pay for the lace out of his wages. I am to dine today with Dilly at Sir Andrew Fountain's, who has bought a new house, and will be weary of it in half a year. I must rise and shave, and walk to town, unless I go with the Dean in his chariot at 12, which is too late. And I have not seen that Lord Peterborough yet. The Duke of Shrewsbury is almost well again, and will be abroad in a day or two. What care you? There it is now. You do not care for my friends. Farewell, my dearest lives and delights. I love you better than ever, if possible, as hope saved, I do, and ever will. God Almighty bless you ever, and make us happy together. I pray for this twice every day, and I hope God will hear my poor hearty prayers. Remember, if I am used ill and ungratefully, as I have formerly been, 'tis what I am prepared for, and shall not wonder at it. Yet I am now envied, and thought in high favor, and have every day numbers of considerable men teasing me to solicit for them. and the ministry all use me perfectly well, and all that know them say they love me. Yet I can count upon nothing, nor will, but upon MD's love and kindness. They think me useful, they pretend that they were afraid of none but me, and that they resolved to have me. They have often confessed this. Yet all makes little impression on me. Pox of these speculations. They give me the spleen, and that is a disease I was not born to. Let me alone, sirs, and be satisfied. I am, as long as MD and Presto are well. Little wealth, and much health, and a life by stealth. That is all we want, and so farewell dearest MD, Stella, Dingley, Presto, all together, now and forever all together. Farewell again and again. Letter 26. Chelsea, June 30, 1711. See what large paper I am forced to take, to write to MD. Patrick has brought me none clipped, but, faith, the next shall be smaller. I dined today, as I told you, with Dilly at Sir Andrew Fountain's. There were we wretchedly punning, and writing together to Lord Pembroke. Dilly is just such a puppy as ever, and it is so uncouth, after so long an intermission. My 25th is gone this evening to the post. I think I will direct my next, which is this, to Mr. Curry's, and let them send it to Wexford, and then the next enclosed to reading. Instruct me how I shall do. I long to hear from you from Wexford, and what sort of place it is. The town grows very empty and dull. This evening I have had a letter from Mr. Phillips, the pastoral poet, to get him a certain employment from Lord Treasurer. I have now had almost all the Whig poets my solicitors, and I have been useful to Congreve, Steele, and Harrison. But I will do nothing for Phillips. I find he is more a puppy than ever, so don't solicit for him. Besides, I will not trouble Lord Treasurer, unless upon some very extraordinary occasion. July 1. Dilly lies conveniently for me, when I come to town from Chelsea of a Sunday, and go to the secretary's. So I called at his lodgings this morning, and sent for my gown, and dressed myself there. He had a letter from the bishop, with an account, that you were set out for Wexford the morning he writ, which was June 26, and he had the letter the 30th. That was very quick. The bishop says you design to stay there 2 months or more. Dilly had also a letter from Tom Ashe, full of Irish news, that dear Lady Lyndon, 1, is dead, and I know not what besides of Dr. Coghill, 2, losing his drab, etc. The secretary was gone to Windsor, and I dined with Mrs. Van Homry. Lord Treasurer is at Windsor, 2. They will be going and coming all summer, while the Queen is there, and the town is empty, and I fear I shall be sometimes forced to stoop beneath my dignity, and send to the ale house for a dinner. Well, sirs, had you a good journey to Wexford? Did you drink ale by the way? Were you never overturned? How many things did you forget? Do you lie on straw in your new town where you are? Cut you, 3, the next letter to Presto, will be dated from Wexford. What fine company have you there? What new acquaintance have you got? You are to write constantly to Mrs. Walls and Mrs. Stoyt. And the dean said, shall we never hear from you? S, Mr. Dean, we'll make bold to trouble you with a letter. Then at Wexford, when you meet a lady, did your waters pass well this morning, madam? Will Dingley drink them too? Yes, I warrant, to get her a stomach. I suppose you are all gamisters at Wexford. Do not lose your money, sir, far from home. I believe I shall go to Windsor in a few days. At least, the secretary tells me so. He has a small house there, with just room enough for him and me, and I would be satisfied to pass a few days there sometimes. Sirs, let me go to sleep, it is past 12 in our town. 2. Stern came to me this morning, and tells me he has yet some hopes of compassing his business. He was with Tom Harley, the secretary of the treasury, and made him doubt a little he was in the wrong. The poor man tells me it will almost undo him if he fails. I called this morning to see Will Congreve, who lives much by himself, is forced to read for amusement, and cannot do it without a magnifying glass. I have set him very well with the ministry, and I hope he is in no danger of losing his place. I dined in the city with Dr. Friend, not among my merchants, but with a scrub instrument of mischief of mine, whom I never mentioned to you, nor am like to do. You two little saucy Wexfordians, you are now drinking waters. You drink waters. You go fiddlestick. Pray God send them to do you good. If not, faith, next summer you shall come to the bath. 3. Lord Peterborough desired to see me this morning at 9. I had not seen him before, since he came home. I met Mrs. Manley Thor there, who was soliciting him to get some pension or reward for her service in the cause, by writing her Atalantis, and prosecution, etc., upon it. I seconded her, and hope they will do something for the poor woman. My lord kept me 2 hours upon politics. He comes home very sanguine. He has certainly done great things at Savoy and Vienna, by his negotiations. He is violent against a peace, and finds true what I writ to him, that the ministry seems for it. He reasons well, yet I am for a peace. I took leave of Lady Carey, who goes tomorrow for Ireland. She picks up Lord Shelburne and Mrs. Pratt at Lord Shelburne's house. I was this evening with Lord Treasurer. Tom Harley was there, and whispered me, that he began to doubt about Stern's business. I told him he would find he was in the wrong. I sat 2 or 3 hours at Lord Treasurer's. He rallied me sufficiently upon my refusing, to take him into our club, and told a judge who was with us, that my name was Thomas Swift. I had a mind, to prevent Sir H. Belisize V, going to Spain, who is a most covetous cur, and I fell a railing against Avarice, and turned it, so that he smote me, and named Belisize. I went on, and said it was a shame to send him, to which he agreed, but desired I would name some who understood business, and do not love money, for he could not find them. I said there was something in a treasurer different from other men, that we ought not to make a man a bishop who does not love divinity, or a general who does not love war, and I wondered why the queen would make a man lord treasurer who does not love money. He was mightily pleased with what I said. He was talking of the first fruits of England, and I took occasion to tell him that I would not for £1,000 anybody but he had got them for Ireland, who got them for England too. He bid me consider what £1,000 was. I said I would have him to know I valued £1,000 as little as he valued £1,000,000. Is it not silly to write all this? But it gives you an idea what our conversation is with mixed company. I have taken a lodging in Suffolk Street, and go to it on Thursday, and design to walk the park and the town, to supply my walking here. Yet I will walk here sometimes too, in a visit now, and then to the Dean. 6. When I was almost at home, Patrick told me he had 2 letters for me, and gave them to me in the dark, yet I could see one of them was from Saucy M.D. I went to visit the Dean for half an hour, and then came home, and first read the other letter, which was from the Bishop of Clare, who tells me the Archbishop of Dublin mentioned in the full assembly of the clergy the Queen's granting the first fruits, said it was done by the Lord Treasurer, and talked much of my merit in it. But reading yours I find nothing of that. Perhaps the bishop lies, out of a desire to please me. I dined with Mrs. Van Homry. Well, sirs, you are gone to Wexford, but I'll follow you. 4. Stern came to me again this morning, to advise about reasons and memorials he is drawing up, and we went to town by water together, and having nothing to do, I stole into the city to an instrument of mine, and then went to see poor Patty Rolt, 7, who has been in town these 2 months with a cousin. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.